Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Run like a wild man.
I watched you struggle, and I watched you wrestle with them angels.
Delirious. From Auburn University, Bo Jackson.
This is the end. The correct Auburn Arena time is 9:26. You got late night Crow, late night Chief, no Ryan, no full intro. The S stands for skipping this episode, I guess. But we are here not to just bury the team, but to praise them.
Yeah.
If you don't know, again, I always assume there's somebody out there who gets all their Auburn information from this podcast.
Oh, yeah, the Dutch.
Yeah, the Dutch. Speaking of which, massive classicer. Ajax.
Oh yeah,
if you need something to watch now that sports are over, the Dutch Eredivisie is fantastic, but really only like two or three clubs.
Yeah, two or three teams.
But Ajax is having a great. Feyenoord is the other good club from the Netherlands, and they play every year in a game called Der Klassiker. It is kind of the big tilt there in the Netherlands.
There is no phrase, none more Dutch than Der Klassiker.
Der Klassiker, yeah.
Klassiker.
Which is funny because I think that I want to say that the
German it? One.
Yeah, what's the German, German one? BVB, Dortmund versus
and Schalke and Dortmund and. Bayern. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Is it okay. Schalke in Dortmund is like something like the Ruhr Derby because it's about the region.
It's the Ruhr Derby. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it is the river.
Feyenoord is in, I want to say, Rotterdam. It is a another massive, massive club there in the Netherlands. Ajax got to win. We're talking about the Dutch Eredivisie, guys, because we do have a very odd contingent of listeners from the Netherlands.
Yeah, yeah. This isn't just the normal me and Crow wasting time. We actually do have a small, maybe our highest percentage outside the U.S. listenership has at one point come from the Netherlands.
Oh, for sure. And I want to say it has, obviously, not because we talk about the Eredivisie or Feyenoord in Rotterdam, but it's because Orange is in our name, and they are the Orange. Their national soccer team is. Yeah. I do love the idea that they thought that there was a podcast in the United States about the Dutch national team in English. Maybe there is one day.
Maybe this is it.
Yeah. So our Orange and Blue Tigers lost to. Lost to the Miami Hurricanes, which is just
yeah. The full disclosure, I was actually doubly upset by this because I'm like, wow, now more reason for Auburn fans to hate my beloved Hurricanes. Yeah. Although I've never been huge into Miami basketball because mostly they've stomped for all of time. They haven't recently, though. I don't know if people know that. They've been pretty good under Larinaga. Better. I mean, they've made the tournament a few times. I want to say they were a 2 seed a few years ago. They were pretty good.
They always seem to be the team they were last night, too. A giant killer. They're always a giant killer. They're always a team with scrappy guards that if the referees are going to let them play, will force a ton of turnovers and make some shots. They're always a super athletic South Florida team. And
And yeah, and this was just a bunch of veterans too. I mean, they were all fourth and fifth year seniors, yeah. Like the whole everybody that played basically, and
not scared of anybody.
No,
it's like they built the whole team out of Zepp Jasper. I mean, that legitimately is what I thought during the game. I was like, this is like what you would have you at three Zepp Jaspers.
I mean, they were extremely tenacious. They are not a good defensive team, and yet they played better defense than I think almost anybody ever played against us all year.
Well, he said their coach basically said after the game they installed a new defense last summer or something. Like after a pretty embarrassing loss, they installed this new defense. And then today, Miami, against Auburn, they actually did it to perfection.
Yeah.
So
well, as part of that, just to hack the crap out of everyone that comes near the lane.
Right.
I mean, I really honestly do think that's part of it.
They trapped tenaciously. Yeah, that was the
trap.
That was the main thing.
They had to have seen how much trouble the trap on our point guards gave us. In some of these later games, too, A&M did it a good bit, and Tennessee did it, obviously. But that trap, right as you come across half court, even though they're not big, they were still bigger than some of our guards, which doesn't help. They were doubling Jabari at like all times, which is smart. Fouling everybody inside, and you know that we may come on to this later. I think that there is a bit to this game being called differently than any game we've played before, more or less, this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they were definitely fouling us, but even if you call half of those fouls, they're still keeping us from scoring half of our points by just being physical inside. And unfortunately, Walker just couldn't shake it off somehow.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer.
Well, Walker was Jabari had a bad game. Right. Walker might as well not have come.
Yeah.
And that's what's so bad. Like, Walker might as well not have gotten off the bus.
Well,
and that was an interesting thing that Miami did. Miami really took Jabari out of the game in the first half. In the second half, Jabari ended up with a double-double.
Yeah.
And like,
a crazy, like, other. I mean, a lot like of 12 rebounds.
Yeah,
like,
career high in
rebounds. We're looking at rebounds and we're like, this can't be right because we had a ton of rebounds in this game.
Because a lot of missed shots.
I mean, it was like, 10, 12, and like 7 or something?
Yeah, he had a ton of steals and he had a good number of blocks. He had some assists.
He just had a bad shooting game.
And really not as horrible as you thought in the second half. Just in the first half he had a horrible shooting game.
Yeah. Couldn't hit anything.
They kind of took Jabari out of the game. They completely eliminated Walker Kessler. And well, I think you could also look at it as that was their strategy. Because you and I have talked about that before where it's like,
right,
if Walker gets in foul trouble early, usually Auburn has a poor game.
Right.
But it wasn't like, I mean, he had two fouls early, but that was it in the first half.
Two fouls real early and just basically didn't play the first half because of that. And then, I mean, when he was in there, they were neutralizing him because they kept pulling him out of the lane.
I mean, and he went, and then he went 0-for-6.
Yeah.
From the field. I mean, he didn't make a single shot, and he shoots his shots from a foot away.
Yeah. It was
pretty lousy.
It was really... It was tough. I mean, everybody listening to this, I'm assuming. Well, again, maybe you did. You're listening from Holland, and you don't know what happened. It was tough. It was a real tough pill to swallow because I was sitting there watching this. I moved down, probably around 12 minutes. I moved down to like better seats than we had even, and. I was sitting there, and I had a real good view of the lane, and you could just see the frustration on the guys' faces. It really it became a thing where they lost the battle in their heads before they actually lost the battle on the court. And I mean, it's hard to blame them because it was frustrating. It was a really frustrating game to watch, and I think it would have been a very frustrating game to play in as well.
Yeah, because Auburn is not used to playing in games that are that physical, and you've got to be able to play those because there's going to be games like that. And then also, Auburn is not used to nobody being hot enough to get you back in the game. Like,
yeah.
Normally, when Auburn got down, because Auburn's been down by 15 in a game before.
Yeah, oh yeah, easily.
But Jabari or somebody, or Wendell or KD, somebody
hit that shot.
Hits a three, ends the other team's run, and then starts a run of their own. Like, Wendell Green on a number of occasions was a one-man, five-man, five-point swing.
Right. We did that in the last...
In the first half.
7 minutes of the first half.
Yeah.
We dug our way back in it, and I do wonder what the halftime conversation was like, because I'm almost wondering if it was we got this
everything's fine. There was no like
refocusing on anything. We just play our game, we'll be fine.
Nothing changed adjustment wise. They didn't adjust at all.
Yeah, and I think that maybe I almost think that having the success we did late in the first quarter sort of ruined the second half for us, because we didn't think about the changes that maybe we should have made. I don't know. We did make the change where Jalen was playing the five.
Jalen had an unbelievable game.
Jalen had a great game. He was our MVP of this game.
And Bruce, after the game, said he can't wait to build the whole team around Jalen next year, which is interesting because it echoes a bit of what he said after last season.
Right.
After last season, he basically was like, yeah, Jalen's our best player.
Yeah.
And then Jalen didn't get to play much this year because we signed the two best big men we've ever had.
Right.
So maybe Bruce is hinting at he doesn't expect us to sign another big man coming in for next year, and we need to be prepared for Jalen.
I'm okay with Jalen at the five.
I'm okay with Jalen on the court a lot. He does good basketball things.
Yeah, I'm fine with it. It makes me really kind of wonder, and maybe this is just no way we could have done this because Jabari may not have wanted to do this, but you play Jabari at the two and have Jalen at the four.
I don't think Jabari's good enough ball handler to play two. Well, and I love Jabari. I'm the biggest pro Jabari guy in the world.
I 100% agree, but Bryce Brown, not really the greatest ball handler.
Yeah, but Bryce could create a little bit more. But
definitely could.
I said this last night in the Slack during the game, was that Jabari's only downfall is that it's like being down in football and your best player is a transcendent wide receiver.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, okay, we've got, you name it. Well, we've got to get him the ball. And like, if we can't figure out a way to get him the ball, Seth Williams or whoever, you could put me out there. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, I guess I'm kind of thinking more of, as far as being a two, him being like a Tayshaun Prince. Just a guy who just sits there in the corner and you just throw it to him, only he's even better at defense than
the thing I would Tayshaun think about him as a two is that maybe Bruce would have called some action of him running off of screens. Because
he's great.
He's good at it. And at no point in this Miami game did you really see them running flex action to get Jabari an open catch and shoot three. Like, that really didn't exist.
Yeah.
He had a couple of opportunities and it didn't really happen.
I wonder if a little bit of it is, he's a freshman. You don't want to throw too much at him. Like if he were a sophomore or junior, you could have him work at the two and the four or the three. He's not really a three because, like you said, he's not, his handle is...
He's actually more, I would say he's more 4-5 than he is 3-4.
Yeah, I agree with that. That is his one glaring weakness is that handle. I don't think that lost us the game here.
No.
Not having anyone else that can that has the size needed to get to the rack that
if you had told me though, if you had told me going into the game,
yeah,
that Jalen Williams would have double figure scoring.
Oh, I would have thought, oh, we killed him.
That we had a really good Wendell Green game and a really good KD Johnson game.
And we didn't turn the ball over.
No, we turned the ball over a ton. We turned the ball over 13 times. It was horrible.
We turned the ball over like 7 times to start the game in like the first 5 minutes. And then
Wendell didn't turn the ball over much.
Right. I think we turned it over twice in the second half, though. That's what's incredible. That's when they blew the doors off.
Yeah, we had 13 turnovers. They had 6.
Yeah.
No, they had 4. My fault. They had 4 turnovers. They turned the ball over 4 times.
And they didn't hit any threes, dude. They barely shot better than us.
Yeah, they went 20% from 3.
If you told me all the numbers,
bro, they went 20% from 3, and we went 19% from 3.
Yeah. So if you told me all these numbers, I would have thought, oh, we killed them. We bashed their brains in.
You get 12 from Jalen Williams, 11 from Wendell Green, and 12 from KD Johnson. You're like, oh man, this is a brutalization. But then you're like, oh, you got 2 from Walker Kessler.
And they came from the line.
Yeah. You got 0 from Dylan Cardwell. Yeah.
Dylan played some pretty good defense.
He did play good defense. You got 5. Devin Cambridge had a decent game.
It's all right.
He had his 4 rebounds. I mean, yeah, he had more rebounds than Dylan Cardwell. Dylan didn't play many minutes, though.
No, he didn't. He
played
really...
12 minutes. Although Devin only played 14 minutes.
Yeah.
It's because Bruce, in the second half, the only adjustment he really made was
Jalen's playing
not subbing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. No, Jabari played every minute.
Like, yeah. We are putting these 5 guys out.
Yeah.
And he said after the game his only regret is he didn't start those 5 in the second half. He said he started his same 5 from the first half, and if he could do it again, he would have started. It would have been Jalen, Jabari, Wendell, Zepp, and KD Johnson.
Yeah. Just go small ball on them. They're small.
It sucks so bad because this team.
I know.
We want to talk about – there are people out there who want to blame this team or get mad. Number one, it's really, really hard to win 6 basketball games against 6 different teams from most of the time different conferences who you've never played before. And really, your coaching staff has had one, two days to scout. Like, there's not a lot of scouting that's getting done in the tournament. You're not going to put a lot of stuff in. That's tough. That's a tough conditions for basketball.
Well, I think a good way, just an Auburn way to look at it is – I think when people think about that 19 team, they conflate them with the team the year before that won the conference during the season. But that team wasn't great during conference play. But they just got hot, and that doesn't make them not good just getting hot. But they got hot at the right time. I mean, they were always a good team. So that's really all it takes in the tournament is to be a good team. And you can do good things, but being a good team or even a great team doesn't guarantee that you're going to go through. At this point now, are the 2 best Auburn teams have not made it past the Sweet 16.
Well, look, put it this way. The best coach in the history of the sport, people say is Coach K. It's actually John Wooden. But people say it's Coach K. And he's been to... 14. He's been to 12 Final Fours. He's been their coach since 1980.
Yeah, he's been coaching for like 80 years. So.
He's been the coach at Duke since 1980.
The place where they get all the best talent, always have, the whole time he's been there. And he's only been to 12 in 40 years, 42 years.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough to win games in the tournament.
Very. I don't want anybody to think this is us making excuses. That's the way it is. I mean, Kentucky, that Kentucky team is better than almost every team in this tournament, but they lost to St. Peter's because they lost to St. Peter's.
Yeah.
And Auburn lost to a – we didn't lose to a 15 seed. We lost to a fairly hot coming into this tournament Miami team who just beaten Duke, right? No, yeah. That was North Carolina.
No, they've beaten Duke. They've beaten North Carolina. North Carolina just beaten Duke.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they beat Duke. They've beaten Duke this season. They've beaten North Carolina. I want to say they said the only North Carolina team they hadn't beaten was NC State or something like that. But they had like a really good they have a really good record against the state of North Carolina this year, which is, you know, not a half bad thing to do.
And they have a good coach. A good coach has been around for a million years. They have a veteran-laden team, which helps you in this tournament. Even if they had not played in a tournament, just having older guys that have been around helps.
I went against my instinct of the tournament is always to pick guards.
Yeah. Guards.
Always.
And old
guards.
If you've got a great guard versus great guard matchup, I'm going with the older guys.
The only time it's really not been the case was the 0-3 Syracuse team.
Right.
And that's because they had the other rule, which is if you have the best player in the tournament, you usually have a really good chance.
Yeah.
So I was like, okay, Auburn looks the most like this 0-3 Syracuse team. But Syracuse didn't play guards like Miami has.
Yeah. They had great experienced guards that knew what they were doing. And guys that have been playing for the same coach for a while, we had exactly one starter that played for this coach before this year. So, you know, and again, down the stretch, of course, these guys aren't like Jabari's not a freshman anymore. Really, he's been through the fires, but it's still one game and you're done. And I really, where I think that kind of experience comes from is you know what to do.
Yeah.
You know not to get down. And these guys definitely look like they were just down.
Because, would you pick Miami in a best of seven against Auburn?
No,
absolutely not.
No.
But that's not what this is. This is not the NBA. They got to play one time in Greenville, South Carolina.
Yep.
In front of, I mean, was it sold out?
No.
Yeah, I was going to say in front of a not sold out crowd.
No, it was about half empty when the game started, I'd say.
That's what the tournament is. First weekend of the tournament is you're playing in a half empty arena, not close to your home.
And the crowd turned on Auburn pretty quick. By the second half, the crowd was cheering against Auburn.
The crowd will always cheer for the underdog at the first weekend games. Always.
Yeah. And there's a lot of Duke and for some reason other random ACC school fans there.
Yeah, people just go because it's in town.
And then they were just all cheering for Miami, which baffled me. I just couldn't understand. There's chance of ACC going on. This whole conference pride thing is so foreign to me.
Well, this is the thing, is that people here think that we have it because of the SEC chant. The SEC chant was the original.
Right, it is.
And so everyone thinks that we have this conference pride. But I think people do.
I think there's some people that
Auburn fans.
The students started doing it when we were beating Oklahoma, and I was just like, I don't care about anybody else.
I think that was more of a, because Oklahoma was joining the SEC. Oh, like, almost like a welcome to the SEC.
Sure.
You're getting your nose rubbed in it.
Yeah.
But I really want to talk more about the season as a whole.
Let's dive into how awesome this team was.
Yeah. Again, like we said, it's hard to win in March. You can't take whether the season is a disappointment or not based on one game in March.
I mean, we won the freaking conference.
We won the conference.
All on our own.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. We're the only ones that get to hang a banner for the 2021-22 season.
Yeah.
And that's the grind, man. Like, they ground that out. They
19, won 19 straight wins.
Games in a row.
I would say people are like, Auburn got the number one ranking, and then that was the problem.
No.
Here's what I want to say about that. In 03, Auburn football got the number one preseason ranking and then blew it. Mm-hmm. And everyone looks at it as a disappointment. But what actually, in my mind, what that did, a preseason number one ranking for Auburn football made Auburn football, like I was a kid in Texas. Mm-hmm. No one I knew in high school in my class was going to Auburn. No one in on my football team cared about Auburn football. But all of a sudden, Auburn was a team people were talking about. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, I was a freshman at Auburn.
Went undefeated.
And all those people from my high school still knew what Auburn was, and it actually like paid attention a little bit more.
Right.
So getting a number one ranking is all of a sudden this Auburn could be number one. So like in the future, when Auburn has a really good team, it won't be surprising to anybody when Auburn's ranked number one.
Exactly.
Like, oh yeah, Auburn's been number one before.
Yeah.
It doesn't shock. Look at Gonzaga. Gonzaga, when we were kids, was this Cinderella team that came out of this weird conference and never
had not.
Yeah.
They had not been to the tournament in some time when that the year that they made the run to the Sweet 16.
Yeah.
And then they've basically been a perennial tournament team.
They're in the Sweet 16 every single year now.
Yeah.
And they went from, they were like a Miami or even, I mean, they're not even a Power 5. They're mid-major. They were a bunch of guys who couldn't get Power 5 offers.
Yeah.
Who would scrap it out to now they're signing every year now. They seem to have an NBA first rounder.
Yeah.
And they're in the middle of nowhere. They're in Spokane.
It's probably pretty appealing to go play for them because you're not like you can go, you can be, you know, in a college workout program, be part of a college team and not get just absolutely chewed up every week like you would in a bigger conference.
And it used to be that no one went and played for them because they were never on TV until the tournament.
But now they are.
But now because they got a number one ranking at some point and made it to a Final Four, they're on TV and people go play for them. So Auburn, by ever being number one, there are kids in Memphis, kids in Atlanta, kids who otherwise might not ever have gone to play for Auburn who think, oh, yeah, Auburn could be number one.
Yeah.
They know what that looks like for Auburn to be number one. They've seen it. So, like, miss me with that. Like, that was not any – there's nothing but good that comes from being number one.
It's not like we immediately lost. We won – we were number one for two straight weeks.
Right.
I mean, maybe there was a little bit of, I don't know, foot off the pedal happening there, but I don't –
We didn't win 30 games in a row.
Yeah.
Right. We won 19.
We hit the meat of our schedule where we were playing some really tough away games.
Nobody goes undefeated in this sport. Like,
no.
It happens once every 30 years, something like that. Like, no one goes undefeated.
Villanova almost do it?
Villanova almost did it. That's right. They lost in the tournament that year.
Yeah.
I'm looking up wire to wire. Keep talking. I'm looking up wire to wire undefeated team.
God, that Virginia team that we lost to wasn't undefeated, were they?
No.
Okay. It's hard to do. It's a tough sport because you're playing twice a week for 3 months, and it's a grind.
It hasn't happened since '76 when Bobby Knight did it in Indiana.
There we go. Most of the time you see, you'll see Villanova, your Villanovas with like one loss, maybe a Duke with two every now and then, like making it in the tournament. But most of the time, three losses, four losses is where everybody's at when they hit the tournament. Mostly because you have to play a hard schedule to get your ratings up.
Gonzaga lost last year in the championship game, and they were undefeated.
That's right.
Kentucky lost in 2015 in the tournament, and they were undefeated.
Yeah.
And they both lost in the Final Four. But
both those teams were amazing.
Awesome. Oh, 2015, Kentucky sent multiple dudes in the NBA that are still playing in the NBA.
Gonzaga just happened to run into the total freaking juggernaut that put them in a sack and beat them with baseball bats and that.
Yeah. That Baylor team, actually, I thought about that Baylor team because I was like, that Baylor team was like if this Miami team was full of first-round draft picks. Like, they played a very similar style of ball. Yeah.
They would have destroyed this Auburn team, that Baylor team.
They would have ground Auburn down because they would have slowed the game down. Yeah. Davion Mitchell would have slowed this game down.
And what did they have? Yeah. They had experienced guards, but really good ones. So
yeah, NBA quality experienced guards.
Yeah.
Here's the list of undefeated, in this case you're a trivia buff. The first team to ever do is Bill Russell's 55-56 San Francisco Dons. Then very next year, North Carolina did it, went 32-0. Then it didn't happen again until 63-64 when UCLA did it. Then UCLA did it again in 66, 67.
Yeah.
Then UCLA did it again in 71, 72, and then again in 72, 73. John, so unless you're UCLA, you have to, like UCLA, who at the time was signing the five best players in America every single year, including a guy that they had to change the rules of the sport for in Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah.
You're not going undefeated. Like, so, I mean, yes, we're going to lose
those,
games.
One of those had one of the greatest players to ever play the game and Bill Russell on it, too. That's
right.
What you didn't point out, the San Francisco Dons.
Yeah, and I think that last one, I want to say the last team to do it, that Indiana team was Isaiah Thomas's Indiana team.
No, more than that. I mean.
Is that right?
Yeah. Maybe if you have an NBA Hall of Famer or icon. Have you been listening to that? Did you listen to some?
I haven't listened to that. Yeah, I haven't listened to that one yet.
It's Jackie, so
I like Jackie.
I love Jackie McMullen, and it's great. It's just to expect to go undefeated is insane. I don't know if there are that many people that expected to go undefeated, and to expect to hold on to that number one ranking. Yeah. I mean, there are a lot of good teams out there. Like, it's not something that happens. It's fine. This team. It stands on their own without that number one ranking, without even hanging a banner. This team is one of the more fun teams to ever watch that I've ever watched play. It has the greatest shooter I'll ever see outside of the professional game in Jabari Smith. I mean, the dude's shot is perfect.
Yeah,
like, it is the perfect jump shot. And I'm never going to forget that. And despite how it ended, I also will never forget that dunk at the end of the JSU game, which was amazing. I'll never forget the one against Yale. And I know these are against teams that aren't that great, but that's fine. Whatever. Yeah. It's still a fun dunk and a game. His intensity, the way he played defense, which almost nobody talks about, was fun.
What about the way that he, in some of our losses, almost like multiple times in some of
he's
our
like,
losses,
no,
made
no.
it seem like, wait, he's just going to make four threes in a row, and we're going to win this game.
Yeah, I mean the dude is a he's I can't imagine having a player that good again. It's they come along so, I mean, especially for Auburn. We were looking earlier at the top 10 recruits that we've had here, and almost all of them have come under Bruce. So outside of Vaught and one other real sad story that we may talk about.
There may be an off-season deep dive.
Yeah. But, I mean, I just not even the fact that he is the highest rated recruit we've ever had. It's just 6'10" and could shoot like that. Like, I just can't imagine.
And Auburn's going to be better because he came, because he will get his, like, Adam Silver will shake his hand and say his name either first or second.
Yeah.
In the NBA draft, put a hat on his head with an NBA team. And every time he gets announced, it will say 6'10" from Auburn University, Jabari Smith.
Yep.
And kids are going to watch that and then come play at Auburn. And I don't care if you're a we need less one and done guys and more 4-year guys. Great. Those 4-year guys will sign with Auburn because Jabari came here too.
Yeah.
And so will the one and done kids.
Well, I just think there's a market because Jabari was not projected to be a first round, you know, the number one pick coming out of high school.
He was projected to be a top 10 pick. Like right. Everyone thought he was a one and done kid.
Right. But not the top pick.
No, he wasn't. Yeah. It was always Chet or Paulo. And now, you only unless Duke wins the national championship, I doubt it's going to be Paulo.
Yeah.
And I like Paulo's game a lot. He's a not as good version of Jabari.
Yeah. This is now a trend. Like, if Bruce can't sell this about himself, then he can't sell anything. But I know Bruce is a great salesman. He's taken Chimo Kiki, who was 4-star, but not, you know, yeah. Nobody was beating down his door to say, hey, come play for us in the NBA, 16th pick in the draft. He's taken Isaac Okoro.
People didn't even think he was a one-and-done kid.
No. He was a lottery pick.
He was the fifth pick in the draft.
Fifth pick in the draft. Tied our highest pick ever in Charles Barkley. I'm pretty sure that's right. And now this will be the third in 4 years of these guys that he's taken. I mean, and Sharif got drafted too. And
JT Thor was not a one and done kid.
That's right.
He reclassified, came early, and still went pro.
18 years old, went pro. So I mean, this is something Bruce can sell. But now he's going to have maybe the number one pick in the draft on his mantle there.
Not to mention the guys like Samir Downey, Jared Harper, or Bryce, who are all playing professional basketball in some capacity. Horace Spencer. Those guys are all playing basketball professionally, and most of those guys, outside of Horace, who is one of our highest recruits ever, were not recruited at the level that guys who play professionally were recruited.
Yeah.
And basketball is a funny sport in that there aren't a lot of those stories. Like, I feel like there's a lot more in football, the kid who was a 2-star who polished himself up and now is playing in the NFL. Basketball doesn't have a lot of those.
And that happens a lot because in football, you're not – like, guys aren't leaving after a year. You have to be there 3 years.
And in football, a lot of times
there's no
camps, no AAU tournament where all the NBA teams have known about you since you were 12 years old.
Yeah,
like, exactly. Everyone knew who Jabari was when he was 16. It wasn't like it was a secret.
I actually think
these kids are over-evaluated at this point to the point where guys like Wendell Green Jr. is at Auburn because he played for not a great AAU club. Yep. And so no one saw him.
Yeah. I have a lot of issues with how that system works.
Oh, it's a disaster.
I think it's long been a problem at high schools where the high school coach will evaluate a kid too young, decide he's not any good, and just write him off.
Yeah.
And I think that's got to be happening at AAU as well.
And not only that, I would say it goes as far as the only reason why the United States still consistently wins gold medals is population size. It has nothing to do with the fact that we have the best grassroots basketball program. We don't.
Yeah.
Most countries are doing a better job at player development than we are.
Yeah. The only reason it's much different than soccer is because, well, one, it's a smaller team. So you don't need to fill as many spots, but also, it's just popular here.
Population, yeah. People are playing it.
Yeah.
The talent pool is gigantic in American basketball.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, you could probably put together a pretty good squad just out of Atlanta for our national team.
You would win a national championship in men's college basketball if you just recruited the top 10 players from Atlanta every single year.
Don't tell Mike White that.
Don't tell Mike White. But that's Bruce's plan. He's like, if I can just sign Atlanta.
But yeah, Jabari's just—I mean, I can't say enough about the guy, and I am sad that his career as an Auburn Tiger ended there the way it did, and that Bruce did pull him towards the end to kind of get him kind of an ovation, but people were so down, and people had already started leaving that there wasn't really much crowd celebration of him, which was sad to me. It was really sad that was the way he went out. But I think this kid, like, he's had nothing but good things to say about Auburn. I think if you're writing him off because he's only going to have been at Auburn 1 year, as somehow not an Auburn man or something like that, I don't think that's right at all.
No, it's ridiculous.
Sharif and Isaac both, like, seem to love Auburn just as much as anybody else does. I mean, Isaac still wears Auburn stuff. Just because he was here a year, I don't know. I don't like that kind of attitude. Thinking because a person's only here a year, because you went 4 years and got your piece of paper that they're not, you know, as touched by this place as you are. I just think that's wrong.
Because again, like, guys like that guy could have gone anywhere.
Yeah, he could have gone anywhere. America. And he chose to come here. Like, that's the thing. Right. It's like trying to act like it's like if the hot chick picks you.
Yeah.
Well, you just, like, reject them because you feel like that they're only here for your looks. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know the analogy I'm trying to make here, but it's a silly thing to think.
No, it's true. It's like, yeah, it really is.
Let me,
like,
say this.
People who live in the United States who are, in some way, they were born here, and they somehow find themselves to be better than people who chose to come here.
Right. Sure. Exactly.
You didn't do anything. You were just born here.
If you somehow think, well, if your thinking is he got paid to come here, right, okay, maybe he did. Guarantee you there's a lot of other places offering him a lot more money than Auburn did.
Yeah, or similar money at least.
So we're not a Nike school. We're an Under Armour school, and nobody wants to go to an Under Armour school. So the fact that he chose us over all these others is something great. And you know what? I bet that Final Four run had a pretty good impact on old Jabari.
Again, because you see a team do something, and you can go, you know what? I can imagine myself playing for Auburn in the Final Four, because I've seen somebody do it, which again is why that team is so special, because they did something that nobody had ever expected Auburn to do. And I would say this team, the number one ranking in the AP poll matters, because this team did something that nobody has ever seen Auburn do.
Yep.
We've seen Auburn win SEC championships.
Well,
to the point now where fans aren't, like, they aren't satisfied with that, which is kind of weird. Like, we are in a weird place where losing in the round of 32 is a disappointment.
Yeah.
We're in that spot where we had a team where anything less than cutting down the nets in New Orleans would have been a disappointing season, which is also, which is a really cool place to be.
It's a cool place.
I mean, it hurts.
It does.
But it's really cool. It could be a lot worse. We could be Georgia fans.
I think, I think that's a great point. I think it is, you're well within your rights to be disappointed by what happened. But to think that this season somehow was ruined or a failure or anything like that, I think that's the wrong kind of thing, because we got to see a lot of fun basketball this year.
We saw Walker Kessler get 2 triple-doubles with blocks. Yeah,
dude. Almost 3.
One in the tournament.
Yeah. Which there's only been like 5 ever in the tournament or something.
Walker Kessler was – there was a stretch there where it was like, well, this dude's going to get 9 blocks a game. Like,
yeah, he's unplayable.
It was unreal.
I really honestly thought he was just playing himself into a lottery pick, like, because I think he was at the time.
At one point he had. At one point he was a projected top 16 pick.
Yeah.
I don't think he currently is, but I think had he kept making threes, he would have been.
Right. But yeah, Walker, I mean, that's another guy. Like, And coming in, I was excited about him because I wanted us to sign him the first time around, and then mm-hmm. Roy came in and scooped him. And you know, at the time, and we're probably still at that point, if you offer a guy, if a guy gets an offer from North Carolina over Auburn, you just kind of expect him to take it. Like, there's still – that's still a much – they got a lot of history up there. Roy's sure. not the coach there anymore.
Right.
So maybe it's a little different.
And Hubie Davis about blew a 25-point lead to Baylor.
Boy, he did. And Duke's the same way. I think even after Kay leaves, it's gonna be hard to tarnish that Duke reputation. Even Kentucky, it's hard to imagine someone's – well, now it's actually not that hard to imagine somebody wanting to play at Auburn.
No, and that's the thing. Because now Auburn's now gone from Isaac Okoro was a flash in the pan to, yeah. Wait, this team is consistently putting guys in the first round.
Like, yep.
Consistently putting guys in the – like Chuma Okeke, Isaac Okoro, and now Jabari. It's three out of the last four NBA drafts. We've got a guy in the first round.
And we had two guys in the second round. That one in the middle. So.
I mean,
which is not that in itself is impressive. We weren't putting dudes
in the draft.
At all. I mean, we went to the Final Four and didn't put any of those guys in the draft.
Yeah, just Chuma.
Yeah, which yeah,
he didn't even play in the Final Four.
Well, yeah, he didn't play in the Final Four. You're right. He did become a god during the late run, so which sort of is why he got drafted like that. But yeah, a guy like Walker Kessler, again, didn't have to come here. He could have stayed with that North Carolina team, or could have gone to play for Tom Crean for his dad and his uncle's alma mater.
And he would say he came to Auburn partly because Jabari came to Auburn.
Yeah, he wanted to come play with Jabari.
And that's one of the reasons why you recruit kids like Jabari, because it gets you kids like Walker.
Guys want to come play with him.
And then you can sell that to guys like Zepp. And guys like when, like, Auburn was in a, I remember we were on this podcast last year, and we were talking about how we were in a rough spot at the point guard position because Sharif declared. When Sharif declared, it was, wait, we don't have a backup point guard. Because when Sharif was hurt, we realized that.
Yeah, because Turbo had already transferred out.
Turbo transferred out. Jamal Johnson didn't look like he was going to be the answer. He ended up transferring out too.
And Flan had played a lot of point during the season,
but he'd gotten hurt. He tore his Achilles tendon.
Yeah, right, right. Well, not he hadn't torn it yet.
Oh, that's
he didn't
right.
Tear that until right before practice started.
That's basically. Right. So we were sitting here going, "What is Bruce going to do?" And turn around, he signed two guys that weren't perfect players, but could flat out play.
One of the best defenders I've ever seen.
One of the best defenders I've ever seen. One of the guys that would be the most annoying player to play against in the history of basketball.
I hate to play against. Good Lord.
And then.
You know what? He would be perfect in that Miami.
Yeah.
Dude.
Again, like, they built the whole team out of Zepp Jasper.
Yeah.
I think. And Wendell Green, a kid who has zero quit to his detriment in sometimes.
Yeah.
Him and Katie Johnson both have that same of, well, if it's going to – what is the – there's a saying in Israel, if it is to be, it begins with me. That is the Katie Johnson mantra.
I like that.
If it is to be, it begins with me. And
I like that.
The Katie Johnson and Wendell Green every so often think they're back playing in some small high school gym and they're the best player on the team and they've got to make it happen or they're going to lose.
Yeah.
And every like against Miami, Katie Johnson did it four straight trips on the court. It was like, oh, I'm just going to win this game. And he got us back in the first half.
Yeah, got us back in. And that's not the first time this year. He and Wendell both saved our bacon more than once.
Oh, yeah.
This year.
Again, the one game everyone puts on Wendell is that Arkansas game. But Wendell went on a 5-0 run by himself to tie the game. Like, he got us. The game was tied because of Wendell.
Yeah. They were a lot of fun to watch.
We'll get
them back next year. I don't see any reason why either one of them would leave. KD already said he's ready to run it back next year. So, and Zepp has said earlier in the year he's said he was staying already.
Although today he's tweeting at haters about.
Well.
Again, and I've said this in our Slack a million times. He is the number one player on the team. I don't pick a fight with Zepp Jasper.
Yeah, why would you try to go with that guy? No chance. These guys are gonna come back, and we're gonna have a chance to see them again. And I'm happy for that.
Dylan Carwell gonna be back. Devin Cambridge gonna be back.
Just getting this experience in the tournament too is gonna go a long way.
That's my brother and I talked about that at watching the game last night. Is that you could tell? I want to say Jalen Williams had this bit of the tournament had been robbed of him his freshman year.
Yeah.
And then they didn't make it last year. So he's one of the only guys on the team that's played for three Auburn teams, and this is his only Auburn tournament team.
Him, Flan, and Dove. Yeah.
So to him, it's like, wait a minute. This is not guaranteed that we're going to be here again next year in the round of 32. He played his butt off, and I think getting him tournament experience is great. And you know, obviously, I wish I really think that freshman team, that 2020 team, was special.
Yeah, that's that. Oh man, I'm more bummed that team didn't get to play in the tournament than I am that this team lost the other night. I thought about that earlier today.
Oh, for sure, me too. That's a good point.
Because that team was just veterans and a bunch of young guys coming off the bench, and it would have been so much fun. But that's what gives me hope for this team, because we're going to have at least five guys that played a lot of minutes this year coming back on this team. Six, really, now that I think about it, that have now gone through this. They've also – it's just a bunch of dudes that don't quit. Yesterday was the first time that I don't think they quit. They just like couldn't do it. Like,
right.
Like mentally, Miami just broke them yesterday.
Yeah.
That's what happened. And these are guys that just didn't happen to this year. Before this, our worst loss was 6 points, I think. And that was to UConn in double overtime. Like, that's got to make people happy, like, when you think about it. I mean, I'm excited, y'all, and I know every player on this team, including Jabari, including Walker, wishes they could just start now playing again.
Yeah,
and that's why when I think Jabari says I haven't made up my mind, the dude's going, but I think in his mind it's still the next game. He wants to win with this team. And I think that's the case every time you ask one of these guys that at the end of the season. It's got to be eating at them all today. And I just hope they all know how much most fans have appreciated this season. I mean, they hung a banner.
Like, yeah.
Every single one of them is a SEC champion.
Yeah.
And there's not a lot of those at Auburn, in basketball. So
no, and Auburn will lose most likely two off this team.
Yeah, we Walker and Jabari,
and I would say that's gonna be it. Like, I mean, maybe some guys transfer out because they want playing time, but I really don't know who that would be.
I'm figuring at least two probably go.
Yeah, I don't want to speculate on transfers.
Yeah,
I want to say that I'm excited about the Chance Westry era, and I think it might be an era, because I don't think he. I think I've seen him projected as a second round pick, so he might not go after his freshman year. But he's a 6'6". He's a 6'6", 2" who doesn't shoot threes but drives to the basket and dunks a lot.
But exactly what we freaking needed all year. Although. Got to add some 3-point shooters. I think if we want to talk about the things that we lacked, KD. I mean, KD and Wendell can shoot the three, but it's not
consistent. Yeah,
it's not consistent. Jabari's our only consistently good shooter on the team. Mm-hmm. You really need at least two, and that hurt us.
It'd been nice if Justin Powell not transferred.
well,
and actually been
good. Yeah,
good in the conference, in conference play.
Yeah. I, at one point, I was so desperate. I thought, God, if only Jamal Johnson had just stayed. And, I mean, honestly. Like, it got pooped on when I said it. But the dude could shoot.
Dude could shoot threes. There were times where we just needed somebody that could shoot a three. Just
throw a warm body in there. Yeah, I mean, Chance Westry's very exciting. He'll be our fourth highest-rated recruit ever, sandwiched between Mustafa Heron and Isaac Okoro.
Yep.
And I mean, it's very exciting. I'd like, my ideal thing is a team of consisting of like seven dudes that are all there, you know, between sophomores and seniors.
Yeah.
And then like one dude that's just there to be there 2 years and just year two, let's run it all the way to wherever the Final Four is that year.
Yeah.
And that's my ideal makeup of a team. But, you know, when you have a chance to have Jabari Smith, Walker Kessler on the same team, you take it.
You take it.
You don't ask questions.
Right.
And I mean, we did what we needed. We brought in some guards. I mean, KD's a playmaker. Mm-hmm. And Zeb's a great defender. He's a good ball handler. Wendell is a gamer, man. He can knock down shots. He's made some crazy passes this year. I mean, we brought in guys to put around these dudes to get them where they need to get. But as we discussed earlier, in the tournament, you can do everything right all year long.
Mm-hmm.
And just that one game will get you.
I mean, look at – if you were to say what's Coach K's most talented team, it would have been the team that did not make the Final Four the year that we did.
Yep. It was one of the best players that's ever played college basketball.
Yeah. And, they had three first-round draft picks. I want to say all three in the top – and all three in the lottery.
Yeah, I think they're all lottery picks.
The number one overall pick, a guy who broke the record for player efficiency rating in college basketball, Zion. And a coach has been there before.
Been there before. Many times. Great coach.
The record, I believe, for most Final Four games won with 13.
Gee whiz.
And I think you can't take it for granted. You cannot think, oh, we've got the best players. We're going to go to the national championship. I'll worry about having fun then.
Yeah, you got to have fun while it's happening.
You got to have fun while it's happening, because it could end with like this is a game in which a 90-foot heave as time expires can beat you and end your season. Yeah. That's what this game is. This is a game that can end on a fluke.
Honestly, I'm glad that our game didn't end like that, and I'm glad that it didn't end on some like BS call.
Same.
Like our Final Four game. I mean, you just got beat.
It happens. Yeah, got punched in the mouth and got beat. And game plan didn't adjust as much as it could have. Bruce didn't call a timeout the second half. It was very bizarre timeout management by Bruce. But those kinds of things are things that he will learn. Like, everyone got a little bit more experience with this team. We lose our two best players, and you just have to bounce it back. Come back next year. I'm more down in the dumps about the football team than I am about the basketball loss. Look, that's for sure.
Bruce, I don't think the rest of the time Bruce is here that we will not make the term. I just don't think. What happened last year when we self-imposed a postseason ban, but also we were reaping the rewards of having imposed a recruiting ban at that point.
Well, Chief, we would have won the SEC tournament last year. Well, they're lucky we didn't go.
That's right. That's right.
And then we would have gone to the tournament.
That's right. Exactly. I don't think that we're going to find ourselves in that situation. Transfer portal helps with that a bit. I think the rules on that may be changing or something.
Yeah, but who knows?
But who knows? Exactly. This is look, we can be mad about not making Sweet 16s after we've made about four or five tournaments in a row.
Yeah.
And I understand that maybe that just seems like I'm being stupid because I there'll be people listening to this that did not suffer through the long drought that we had, and they'll think that that's kind of a stupid bar to hold, but you can't take making the tournament and having good seasons for granted. A good season is making the tournament. It's not even winning the conference title, and we won the conference title this year, wire to wire. So I know it hurts. That loss hurts. It's going to hurt for a while, and everybody listening, anybody that watched yesterday, we'll always remember it. Like, we're always going to remember losing that game. It'll be something that gets brought up all the time.
Yeah.
Until the next one. But I hope most people remember the fun parts of the season more than that loss.
Yeah.
I really do. Just KD and Jabari just talking massive amounts of trash every game.
Yes.
I'll never forget Jabari talking trash to Jim Boeheim. It's going to be the greatest, one of my greatest memories of this team. KD in the tournament, mm-hmm. knocking down a three and looking at our bench and saying, "I'm back, bitch."
It's incredible.
It's just so funny.
He's going to be one of my favorite players in the history of the school eventually. Yeah. Like, when he leaves, he'll be one of my favorite players to ever play at Auburn.
I think everyone loved that Final Four team because those are guys that they stuck with and people that had gotten in and kind of on the ground for mm-hmm. Bruce and they all came up together. I mean, I wrote a whole thing about it when they were all done.
But Jared left early.
Yeah, Jared left early.
Jared left early. Chuma left early.
Yep.
Only guy who didn't was Bryce.
And I mean, maybe you have some reservations about some of these guys being mercenaries and transferring it. Okay, whatever. But they've just been really fun to play. And right now I'm becoming self-conscious that I'm being like creating some straw man that hates these people.
Yeah, right.
I'm worried that people won't appreciate this team for what it is and how much fun it was. Last night was really the first time that I was not having fun watching this team.
Right.
And that point did not come until about 7 minutes left in the game, really.
Yeah.
That's when I was like, man, I'm not having fun. And you could tell they weren't having fun. It was tough. And ultimately, when you lose a game to end the season, that's how it's always going to be. And guess what? Auburn has never won the tournament, so they've never ended the season on a win.
Yeah.
In which they made the tournament.
Yeah.
I'm sure that they've ended the season on a win where they didn't.
Right.
The
and that's what I was trying to say earlier. It's like we've entered into a realm of we're a good enough program where we're going to end seasons on losses.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Like we're a good enough program where we're going to end seasons on bitter, disappointing losses.
Guess who does that?
Teams in the tournament. That's it.
Almost every team every year.
Yeah.
Like, ends the season on a loss.
One team gets to say, we had an awesome year.
Yep.
And that's a lousy place to be because we had an awesome year this year. And we didn't put confetti. We didn't get to cut nets down in New Orleans. We don't have a parade.
Yeah.
But we get to raise a banner.
It sucks because we were all – I'm very proud of the Auburn fan base because – to the bitter end, even when we started struggling, and the signs were there that we were not good enough to go all the way. We stayed talking about meeting up in New Orleans, going to New Orleans, doing this in New Orleans. And I'm really proud of the people that I've interacted with anyway, of believing that we could be there.
Yeah.
The team was good enough to get there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Miami's in the Sweet 16. They're not a better team than us overall. They didn't even come close to winning the ACC. you know, it's, it just is what it is. Basketball is a fun sport. It's my favorite sport. And college basketball just happens to choose maybe the worst way to decide who's the best team in the country ever.
But the most fun way.
But the absolute most bonkers fun. I don't want to talk. We're working through it here. I don't want to think about basketball for a while, but I'll be right back into it on Thursday.
Yeah.
Because I love this tournament so much. And the double-edged swords of Auburn being good is that it does taint the tournament for me. Like last year, I just wasn't as into it because we just weren't there. And now, you know, when you lose in the tournament, it's like, oh God, I don't want to watch these other teams.
Yeah. That's where I am. I don't know if I'll watch next week. I'll probably watch the next week, but yeah. I don't know if I'll watch this. Yeah. I can't watch Miami play, I don't think. Well, guys, we've done an hour on this. If you've been on this journey with us, thanks for peacocking along with us. You are not part of the problem. You're part of the solution. The peacock solution.
That sounds a little...
I don't want to sell peacock solution.
Yeah, when you end a slogan with solution, it really draws some...
Not the final peacock solution. Just like it's a solution to the problem, which is being sad. Just
being sad. Look, go outside. Look, think about it this way. I'm saving a lot of money. that's how I'm thinking about it.
Think about this way. You got so much time to watch Dutch League soccer.
I get to spend time with my family.
Yeah.
My wife is – I'm not abandoning my wife to my two children. Yeah. She asked off work. Now we got time together.
Yeah.
Look at that.
All right, Chief, I'll see you. We might take a couple weeks off of the pod, though. But we'll see how that works.
We might have something special to throw up on the thing for you, but yeah.
And we will probably start our off-season deep dives on random topics whenever we get back.
Yeah. We're not abandoning baseball. There's still plenty of baseball.
Or women's soccer.
Or women's soccer.
And I'm sure Ryan will make us do an A-Day episode. One, two, three, four. All right. You guys have a War Eagle weekend.
Keep on cocking.